Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 30 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, January 9th. Permian deals lead merger rebound in fourth quarter. The story was written by Miller McEwen. Upstream mergers and acquisitions began 2020 slowly, with deals falling amid a lack of interest from investors in financing deals. Deals slowed to a trickle as the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic took hold, global economies shuttered, and oil markets crashed. But activity began to pick up steam as the year progressed, and industry consolidation began to take hold. According to the fourth quarter and full-year analysis by the data analytics firm Enverus, the year ended with a bang as the fourth quarter saw $27 billion in M&A activity, the third most active quarter by value since oil prices began to crash in the fourth quarter of 2014. All told, M&A deals were valued at $52 billion in 2020, though the number of deals, 140, was the lowest since at least 2006, and about a third of the average deal flow over the past 10 years. Unsurprisingly, activity was led by the Permian Basin, which saw the top four deals in the fourth quarter. Topping the list was ConocoPhillips' $13.3 billion acquisition of Constro Resources and the biggest shale acquisition since 2011. The ConocoPhillips Constro merger was immediately followed by Pioneer Natural Resources' agreement to acquire Parsley Energy for $7.6 billion, giving Pioneer control of nearly 1 million acres across the Midland and Delaware basins. Midland's Diamondback Energy capped off the quarter by announcing, just before Christmas, plans to acquire QEP Resources for just over $2.1 billion and Guidon Operating for $862 million. Quote, merger and acquisition activity accelerated in the second half of 2020 as companies came to grips with the need for more scale to lower their cost bases and boost potential cash returns to shareholders. Andrew Dittmar, senior M&A analyst at Enverus, told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, I believe that was combined with some added certainty relative to the first half of 2020 when no one had any idea how the COVID pandemic would play out. Wall Street was clear they wanted mergers between E and P's with a good underlying asset basis and reasonable debt loads. Because of its scale and quality, the Permian Basin is where you find many of those candidates. End quote. The fact that three of the leading Permian independents, Concho, Pioneer, and Diamondback, each participated in a deal implies a recognition by the industry that scale is vital for companies to remain relevant going forward, he continued. Wrote Dittmar, quote, companies were already aware of the need for scale to gain synergies and drive down cost structures as part of the focus on full cycle returns and getting capital back to shareholders. The pandemic certainly emphasized those trends and accelerated and deepened cost-cutting. Companies have seen they could do more with less, and it should be a leaner industry post-COVID. Hopefully, that translates to profitability as commodity prices improve. End quote. In addition, he noted that the fourth quarter deals were consistent with earlier deals, like Chevron's acquisition of Noble Energy for $13 billion in July, and Devon Energy's $1.6 billion merger with WPX Energy in September, in that they were all equity, low-premium combinations. Companies in particular were unwilling to invest substantially in undeveloped land, Dittmar noted, instead focusing on acquiring existing production and cash flow, sometimes through bankruptcy sales. As to expectations for merger and acquisition activity in 2021, Dittmar wrote, quote, "More so than in other years, the outlook for 2021 is uncertain and will depend on the global economic recovery from COVID and its associated impact on commodity prices." Quote, "Assuming global economic activity continues to improve and prices hold at the current level with WTI near $50 a barrel, there should be more deal flow in 2021 than 2020. There is a substantial backlog of non-core asset sales for companies to work through, and it should be a bit easier to find buyers for those assets, although valuations may still be a challenge. Consolidation should continue, but there may be fewer of the really big corporate deals like Conoco's purchase of Concho, just because so many were knocked out in the last year." End quote. Corporate consolidation is likely to continue as companies look for synergies to drive down their cost structures. That is particularly true among the industry's small and mid-sized participants, which are urgently in need of scale, Dittmar said. Companies who went through a Chapter 11 restructuring in 2020 could emerge as potential merger partners now that debt loads are right-sized. He concluded, quote, "Wall Street appears supportive of E&P deals, but with very specific expectations on deal structure and the quality of the merger target. The limiting factor for consolidation in 2021 will be the number of attractive merger partners left at the end of a very active year." End quote. IRS issues final 45Q tax credit rules for carbon capture projects. The story was written by Mella McEwen. After several years of waiting, the Internal Revenue Service has issued final rules to implement the Section 45Q tax credit designed to spur development of carbon capture projects. Quote, "I thought the IRS did a fair, reasonable job," commented Midlander Steve Melzer of Melzer Consulting and director of the CO2 conference. "Providing certainty about what will qualify for the credit and a timeline for when project construction can begin could pave the way for some projects in the Permian Basin." He said they were too early in the planning stages to be discussed, but could be very large. "A lot of people are looking at the Permian Basin as a wonderful place for not just for carbon dioxide-based enhanced oil recovery, but carbon sequestration as well," he told the reporter Telegram by telephone. "With this bounty of infrastructure and reservoirs capable of holding massive amounts of CO2, quote, "if we filled those reservoirs, it would be a huge industry with a lot of jobs," he said, "with engineers and geologists among the positions to be filled." Developing the Permian Basin CO2 capture, utilization, and storage capabilities also could help address the issue of emissions along the Gulf Coast, where there is an urgent need for action, Melzer added. He expressed confidence the efforts to advance carbon capture, utilization, and storage will continue to thrive under the new Biden administration, given its expected focus on the climate. "Updating 45Q credits had bipartisan support," Melzer noted, and, quote, "nowhere on his platform did I see anything to the contrary. there is a wing on the left that wants to keep it in the ground and implement the Green New Deal, and he's come out as not in favor of that, end quote. Melzer said those at the IRS reviewing the proposed rules did a good job of crafting them so they would support development, a position echoed by the Carbon Capture Coalition. Brad Crabtree, director of the coalition, which is comprised of 80-plus companies, unions, and non-governmental organizations, said the coalition had helped build a consensus among its members and made recommendations to the Department of the Treasury on 45Q updates. Quote, "The Carbon Capture Coalition welcomes the release of final rules to implement the reformed 45Q tax credit," Crabtree said in a statement. Continuing the quote, "The final rule will provide long overdue regulatory and financial certainty to incentivize private investment in economy-wide deployment of carbon capture, removal, transport, use, and geologic storage across a range of key industries. The final rule, coupled with the two-year extension of 45Q passed in December as part of the 2020 Omnibus Spending Package, will help to unlock billions of dollars in private capital to continue moving forward on the approximately 30 publicly identified commercial carbon capture projects already under development nationwide in response to the revamped tax credit," end quote. The IRS's final rule reaffirms strong standards for demonstrating secure geologic storage to claim the 45Q tax credit. The IRS rejected requests to weaken requirements that would have undermined the integrity of the program. Reduces the look-back period for credit recapture from 5 years to 3, which will safeguard the geologic storage objectives of the 45Q program while addressing the open-ended risk of credit recapture that could otherwise impede private investment in carbon capture projects. Provides for a flexible approach to aggregating smaller industrial facilities into a single project to qualify for 45Q, significantly expanding opportunities for project deployment and emissions reductions in multiple industries and regions of the country, and encourages innovation in carbon utilization by affirming that a wide range of products manufactured from captured carbon are eligible for the tax credit, subject to requirements for life cycle analysis of greenhouse emissions. Going forward, Crabtree said the coalition will work with policymakers to enhance public transparency in demonstrating secure geologic storage in order to claim the tax credit. A second priority will be direct pay in lieu of the tax credit, which he said will enable developers to attract private capital finance existing projects and develop new ones. Investors will increasingly drive energy companies to ESG efforts. The story was written by Mella McEwen. As the oil and gas industry regains its footing in 2021, companies will have to accommodate a trend that has been intensifying over the last several years. Amy Stutzman, managing director at Opportune, the energy consulting firm, says ESG, environmental, social, and governance, investing has become one of the industry's most visible and durable megatrends. Efforts to promote renewable energy, sustainability, and the energy transition are building the momentum behind the trend, she added. Quote, "It is an integral part of the landscape," she told the reporter Telegram by email. "Since it is an investor focus, it is also a main focus of boards and executives. We are seeing executive compensation linked to achieving ESG metrics, such as reduction of methane emissions. For example, look at the executive compensation at Cimarex, Occidental, and Devon. I think this underscores the importance of achieving ESG initiatives, end quote. Steve Melzer of Melzer Consulting told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview that investors' reluctance to invest in energy companies unless ESG initiatives are met is already beginning to pinch companies' bottom lines. The companies Stutzman noted are large companies with additional resources to meet ESG initiatives, but she stressed that there are resources to help smaller companies address ESG initiatives as well. Quote, I am seeing peer groups come together to collectively address ESG issues and collaborate on disclosures, she said. Private equity firms are sharing knowledge and best practices across their portfolio companies. Also, several industry trade groups are spearheading efforts to standardize disclosures across the industry sectors and provide resources to their members. End quote. Among those trade groups are the American Petroleum Institute, International Petroleum Industry Environmental Conservation Association, and International Association of Oil and Gas Producers, who have teamed on sustainability reporting guidance. The Energy Infrastructure Council and the Petroleum Equipment and Services Association, which has established a center of excellence. For those smaller companies being asked about ESG initiatives, she advised being proactive and looking at what their peers have done. She also suggested having conversations with investors and other stakeholders and the community about their priorities and how they can be addressed. Start small and scale up over time, she advised. Quote, I think that this is an opportunity for oil and gas companies to tell their stories and positively impact the market perception of the industry because the industry already does so much for the environment and is already giving back to the communities that they work in. It's just maybe not something that's been tracked or reported, so I think there's a gap in market perception to some extent on what's happening, she said. Above all, she said companies large and small should be transparent and proactive, not only in telling their stories, but in the reporting on their ESG initiatives. As an example of investors driving energy industry ESG efforts, Sussman said the private equity firm Kimmeridge, which is focused on the upstream sector, recently published a white paper outlining 5 specific principles they feel should be adopted by the companies they invest in. Those principles included eliminating flaring, reducing and monitoring methane emissions, and ESG reporting. For environmental, she said investors, shareholders, and consumers are focused on reducing flaring and emissions. On social, she said the focus is on employee safety and giving back to the communities they work in. On governance, she said there's a focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as ensuring that ESG is embedded in the corporate culture. As 2021 unfolds, she said she expects more companies to focus on net zero emissions targets, as well as more investment in natural gas, which is expected to play a significant long-term role in the energy transition and clean energy. Quote, I think it's clear that ESG is here to stay, and I think it will continue to become an ever-increasing part of the conversation that companies are having with their investors, she said.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, January 9th, 2021. Rates on the Rise by Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Quote, Treasury yield surges to 1.07%. The move is clearly on the larger side of what we expected, end quote, from Timothy High, interest rate analyst at BNP Paribas. The rate rise is not on the high side of what I expected and have been writing for some time in this space. Never mind the squabble over Trump's exit or Musk anointment at besting the wealth of Bezos. Let's take a look at the real story. It is no accident that the 10-year Treasury yield surged 2.78% as the Democrats took the big three. Chuck and Nancy are using numbers reserved for astronomers, already calling for more COVID stimulus, climate change initiatives, and tax hikes. Understand this yield was 0.5% at the August bottom, so it has doubled in 6 months. The rates of the quantitative easing era are multi-century lows. Rates bottomed in 1948, topped in 1981, and have been bottoming since 2016. That bottoming process has now ended. Rates are on the rise. The best vehicle to play the rate rise in a pure sense is TBF. This is an ETF that rises with the rate increase. While I remain fearful of what the new administration has planned for Texas crude oil production, a few bright spots pushed prices back over $50. OPEC claims to have cut production by 1 million barrels per day, and the U.S. dollar has fallen from 104 to 89.79 this year. Oil is priced in U.S. dollars. The oil price in dollars rises to maintain price parity. And the release of COVID vaccine promises more personal travel and therefore gasoline consumption. The rise in oil price has brought various energy trusts back to life. Permian Basin Royalty Trust, PBT, is trading at $3.53 and yielding 6.72%. The stock market has ignored the chaos in Washington, D.C. and hit multiple new highs. Tesla rose yet another 8% just yesterday, no doubt on expectations of government-mandated electric cars. But the ratio of NASD to NYSE volume is approaching its post-March 2000 high. This means most of those new 10 million investors who came online in 2020 are buying low-priced NASD stocks, swelling the volume. This is yet another metric suggesting that a frothy top is forming in the stock market. Yes, we have noted many such signals as multi-year extremes input to call ratios, price-earnings ratios, and summation ratios. But manias last as long as the money holds out, which it continues to do. Expect higher energy share values, higher interest rates for years to come, and a probable top forming in pricey tech shares. The Economist. Looking Ahead by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. After a rugged and seemingly endless 2020, we are beginning to see the light at the end of the COVID-19 tunnel. We're not done yet, but with vaccination programs ongoing and the disease and effective treatments better understood, we should be able to establish a new normal at some point in 2021. There are myriad challenges, but the path is beginning to emerge. One key issue for 2021 is the millions who are unemployed. While employment has rebounded substantially from the bottom in April 2020, a full recovery to pre-pandemic levels will take a couple of years. As expected, the pace of recovery slowed through the fall following large early gains as businesses reopened in the summer. The recent surge in cases has further stymied the comeback. U.S. unemployment levels decreased to 6.7% in November from the high of 14.7% in April, but remain well above the 3.6% rate where we started the year. About 10.7 million people are officially jobless, including 3.9 million without work for 27 weeks or more. About 6.7 million people were working part-time for economic reasons and would have preferred full-time jobs. Yet another 7.1 million wanted to work but were not officially in the workforce. Dealing with these dislocations will be a critical imperative in 2021. One source of relief is the belated stimulus package. The $900 billion pandemic relief bill was finally enacted after months of delay and weeks of debate. It includes an additional $600 in payments to individuals, including children, and extends the enhanced unemployment benefit, though the amount is lowered to $300 per week. The bill also reopens that Paycheck Protection Program for a second round of small business loans and offers support for schools, childcare, renters, and additional food benefits. In addition, the bill provides funds for vaccine doses and distribution and continues assistance for testing. This infusion of resources will help keep the structure of the economy intact and disseminate much-needed relief for individuals and families. The initial CARES Act was designed to provide aid for only a few months, and as the initial timeline draws to a close, the new stimulus bill will help to bridge the gap until vaccinations are widely completed. It is not sufficient, but it is necessary. All signs point to robust future expansion in an economy which was basically sound before the health crisis began. As the pandemic recedes, growth potential increases. While the recovery will no doubt be somewhat uneven and many changes lie ahead, 2021 is shaping up to be a year of transition and adjustment, but hopefully one that brings much-needed and welcomed calm from the unprecedented storms of the recent past. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 10th, 2021, Life and Times. Cold temperatures can bring havoc to asthma sufferers, by Levi Stone, RN, MSN. Colder weather can be a blessing to many, but just as much a curse to others. Among those who aren't particularly fond of crisp temperatures are those with respiratory conditions, particularly asthma. According to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, more than 26 million Americans suffer from asthma. It's a chronic disease that causes your airway to become inflamed, making it very difficult to breathe. Unfortunately, there is no cure, and the only real way to keep it under control is to avoid the triggers that can lead to flare-ups. One of those triggers is a sudden change in weather, particularly cold weather. While it is somewhat unrealistic to avoid cold weather, there are things within our control to help keep an asthma flare-up at bay. According to the American Thoracic Society, cold air is one of the most common asthma triggers leading to a flare-up. Our lungs prefer a very warm and moist environment to function at their best, and when anything other than this exists, our bodies react to compensate for the change in conditions. As cold air enters the lungs, both blood vessels and airways constrict, reducing airflow. Since those with asthma can already have damaged airways and reduced lung function, further restriction caused by cold air puts these individuals at even greater risk. Cold air causing constriction of airways can further aggravate into a full-blown coughing spell, forcing some to reach for their rescue inhaler and fighting to catch their breath. If you must go outdoors on cold days, it's best to breathe through your nose or even use a scarf to cover your face to warm the air before it gets to the lungs. Unfortunately, being outdoors isn't the only place where triggers are found. Even when asthma sufferers retreat indoors for refuge, other types of triggers may still lurk inconspicuously throughout the home. Here's a list of a few of those triggers and ways to help reduce and or avoid them altogether. Insect droppings from dust mites and cockroaches can trap themselves in carpet fibers, air conditioning ducts, and furniture, finding their way into one's airway and spur on an attack. Using mattress and pillow covers and avoiding downfield comforters, pillows, and quilts can reduce the exposure with insect waste. Pets, such as dogs and particularly cats, shed dander containing allergens. If you have pets, it's imperative to vacuum, dust, and mop your home no less than weekly. Also, make sure you bathe and groom your animals regularly. A wood-burning fire may provide warmth and a touch of comforting nostalgia, but the smoke it creates